This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
All right, this is Acts 2:37. It's the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and the apostle Peter is preaching the gospel. Verse 37, when they heard this, Peter's message, this is what every preacher hopes happens when the people hear his message. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Every preacher wants their message to touch people's hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, he wasn't alone in this, the others were there and the others were also sharing Christ with people. And so the response came from the people that were listening to the word of God being preached, the gospel, on the day of Pentecost, and their response was, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're hearing you. We hear the message. We hear about you. You're telling us about this Christ and what he accomplished and what he did. What shall we do? What are we supposed to do with that information? And that's a beautiful thing. Every preacher, every evangelist, everybody that goes door to door and witnesses, everybody who witnesses to their family, friends, workmates, people that you meet in the supermarket or wherever you meet them, wherever God establishes a connection for you or a divine appointment, everybody desires that when they speak to the person that there's a cutting to the heart and a response from that person saying, what shall we do? Rather than get away from me, shut up, I don't want to hear this. You want to hear, what do you want me to do? What should I do? I mean, that's beautiful. And where did that come from? That comes from, why is there such a great response to the gospel in this particular case? The purpose, the reason behind the great response is Acts 1:14. There was an upper room prayer meeting. They gathered together in an upper room and they prayed. And they prayed. And they continued to pray. And they stayed together and they prayed some more. And there was the response of the people that they preached to was first cultivated by a prayer meeting. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they all participated. It wasn't just two or three people showing up for the prayer meeting. They all showed up. Everybody came to pray. They all participated. They were all in one place. They were all in unity, one with another. They had the same focus. The same desire. Lord, give us souls. Lord, save the lost. Lord, let this message be heard to our brethren in Israel. And they were all together. You know, we have prayer meetings today, not in this church or in other churches. You have a prayer meeting and one, two, three people show up. That's hardly going to produce a lot of power in the ministry of the church. But these people learned right from the beginning of the church, and the day of Pentecost is the church's birthday. Right from the birthday of the church, that the power behind God using them and seeing a response from people to them was prayer. The great response they get in Africa is bathed in prayer. It starts in Baltimore where they have prayer meetings going on all the time for missions, and then it also happens over there where people get together and pray, and they pray, and they pray, and then there's a response. You go into a village or a town, and people are there saying, what should we do? I've been touched by the message. So Peter said to them, and of course, Peter said to them this, and of course we know, and Peter will explain this, but we know that when a person says, what do I have to do? You know that really it's not what you do, it's simply believe. If you're doing anything, you're believing. Believing is the doing. We don't give them a list of rules when they say that. Well, here, follow these rules, and if you can live up to them, maybe you'll make it. We simply explain to them that salvation comes by grace through faith. So Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, of course, means to change your point of view. Repent means to change your point of view regarding Christ. And that's what these Jewish people on the day of Pentecost needed to do. They needed to change how they saw Jesus. And Peter was very, very precise with them. He said, you crucified him. Now you can crown him. You crucified him. He was very politically incorrect. It's not what you say today. You can't say that. People get offended. He said, no, no, no. Israel, you crucified him. But now you can crown him. And he can be the Lord of your life. And you can be forgiven. And you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Change your mind regarding Christ. Repent is not take all of the sins in your life and stop doing them first. Some segments of Christianity teach that. You want to be a Christian, take all of your sins, stop them, and then you can be a Christian. And how do you do that? Who's got the strength to do that? Who's got the ability to do that? And even if you did that, you just feel self-righteous about yourself. I don't sin, but you do. You'd have a pride complex being built. So repent really gets into the change your viewpoint on Christ. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that'll give you the strength to have a life-changing experience later. So repent, make him crown him as the Lord of your life, you who crucified him, and then be baptized as a public testimony of your faith in him. Be baptized as a public testimony. If you've never been baptized, it's a great thing to do. It's a public testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. Back with these guys, to be baptized meant you were probably going to be disowned by the rest of your family. That goes on today in many places in the world. Baptism, which is an outward public testimony of your faith in Christ, will get you disowned. And in Muslim circles, it'll probably get you killed. So in America, it's not so severe. But baptism is a wonderful thing to do. It's a public testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit, comes with salvation. Baptism is not the requirement for salvation, never has been in the Bible. This verse is misused by some Christian denominations, along with one verse in Mark 16, causes them to create an entire denomination around this. But baptism is never the criteria for salvation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, God never sent me to baptize. Now, obviously, if baptism was the difference between heaven and hell, then why would the Apostle Paul say, I'm not sent here to baptize, but to preach the gospel and get men to believe? So he obviously didn't make it the point of salvation that you needed to be baptized. Baptism is the public testimony that follows salvation. And there are denominations out there, as we said, who press baptismal regeneration or baptismal being born again through baptism and only through baptism. So if you stumbled and tripped into a puddle, you'd be saved. Obviously, it's an outward thing, and people can do it without having their heart in it. So it's not the criteria. With the heart, man believes, and then with his lips, he makes the profession of faith at baptism, confesses that he's saved. Verse 39, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This promise of salvation, this gospel that we're preaching, is a gospel that is available to every single person across the planet, no matter what your background, no matter how deeply you have sinned in your life, no matter what you've gone through, no matter anything, your past is never held against you. The promise is to you and to everyone, those that are here close in Jerusalem and in Israel, and those who are far off in Gentile nations, the promise is to all, because many are called. In Matthew 22:14, many are called, and a few believe and are chosen by God. When you believe, you open the door for God to choose you. You open the door through faith, and God reaches his big old hand in there. As you'll see on our float this Christmas, he reaches his big hand in and grabs you, and you're in his Father's hand in John 10:28 for the rest of your existence. And by the way, your existence is eternal, so that's pretty good length of time. So you have a place to dwell in the Father's hand, and that's you won't have to pay any rent for that either. That's prepaid. And you're in the Father's hand forever and ever and ever, because he grabs you and chooses you then. Many are called, few are chosen. But everyone gets the opportunity. In verse 40, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Don't be like everybody else who rejects Christ, who lives their own selfish existence and wants nothing to do with God. Don't go their way. Their way ends up in an eternity that is godless. Get saved out of that. Come out of the world system, as Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. You live in the world, but don't be of it. Don't be part of it. And those who gladly received his word, and therein is the key mentioned this morning by Pastor Ken, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Those who heard gladly received his word. They were the believers. They heard the word, and that's the key to believing. And they were baptized, and once they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they became Christians, they were saved, regenerated, human spirit, re-empowered, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and the entrance of the indwelling Holy Spirit within them. They're now saved for all eternity, and now they go to the waters of baptism to make their public testimony. From now on, I am of Christ. Count me in.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Free Spirit Worship Center, under the pastoral leadership of Pastors Ronnie and Glenise Glover, located at 364 Swain Boulevard, Green Acres, Florida, at the corner of